Hey everyone, Joe Mayers here. Before we begin the story, I wanted to offer a disclaimer that today's episode features the description of an execution. So for all of you who listen with your young children, I suggest previewing the episode first. I'm Joe Mayers, and this is Think Forever. This week, we're finishing the story of Titus and Denis. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome, and I recommend you go back and listen to last week's episode before listening to this one. Episode 7, Fear God, Not Man, Part 2. Denis, Rusticus, and Eleutherius trudged with black hoods over their heads through the mud in the woods. Titus had chosen to take them down the path of the executed on their way out of town, in case he was caught and had to improvise.
"And he was raised," Denis slurred, "from the dead by the glory of the Father."
He had been loudly proclaiming the good news since they left the jail, but this was the most exercise he had had in weeks, and he was getting weak. Titus had thought he would never grow tired of hearing the good news, but when it was said at you, as if you didn't believe it, as if you were the enemy, that got annoying.
"All right, let's give it a rest," Titus said.
Denis kept going.
"And if we believe in him..."
"Listen,"
Titus interrupted him. They were far enough away now and not likely to be seen. They were almost to Montmartre, and beyond that was the edge of town. They would bypass the hill, get out into the wilderness, and trek the rest of the way to Sens.
"I follow the way, too," Titus said.
Rusticus exclaimed excitedly, and Eleutherius looked flabbergasted.
"I'm taking you to a safe place in Sens. I just didn't want to say anything until we were clear."
He reached out with a key to release them from their shackles.
"I knew it," Denis said, laughing. "I knew you weren't supposed to execute us when you didn't know which cell they were in."
He gestured to his friends. The excitement of all three of them was causing all of the chains to rattle.
"Titus?"
came a voice from over Titus's shoulder. Titus's eyes went wide and his complexion pale. He looked at Denis, scared, and slowly turned around. He saw his fellow soldier, Quintus, standing there with his hand on the hilt of his sheathed sword, just in case there was a problem.
"Where are you taking them?"
Quintus asked.
"Execution," Titus said, after thinking for a moment. There was no other explanation why they would be out here.
Quintus looked all four of them up and down.
"I thought you were on patrol today."
"I was assigned to this. I came to get them and thought they had escaped. I tracked you all here."
"Sorry," Titus said. "There must have been a mistake."
Inside, Titus panicked.
How could he explain this? How could he break his brothers free? How could he avoid suspicion?
"Well, we're almost there. Let's get going,"
Quintus said. He unsheathed his sword and pointed it at the three bound men.
"Walk,"
he commanded. The men looked at Titus, confused, but made no theatrics of it. They did as they were told. As they made the rest of their way to Montmartre, Mount of the Martyrs, where so many had gone before them, Titus schemed. He tried to find a way to save the three men and give them all plenty of time to escape before the Empire became aware of his disloyalty. Great fear came over him as he walked behind Quintus. He thought maybe the only way to get out of this was to kill him. What else could he do? There was no logical explanation for why the three of them needed to steal away for a minute in the middle of the forest. Wait here, Quintus. That would never work. What trick could he pull? It was him or them. He had to make a choice, and quickly. They were no more than 2 minutes from the execution site. Titus put his hand on the hilt of his sword, deliberating whether or not to take it out, whether or not to use it against his friend. Quintus looked back at him.
"Which one do you want?" he asked.
Titus quickly took his hand off the hilt and put it casually at his side. He had to answer the question, or it would be suspicious. He pointed to Denis and Rusticus. "Those two."
"Two?" Quintus laughed. "Feeling ambitious today?
Whoever finishes theirs first gets the third. Deal?" Titus tried to laugh, but he thought he might throw up.
"Deal," he said, trying not to sound nervous. They arrived at the place of execution on the mount. It was rocky and desolate, as such a place of death should be. Nothing should have grown there. There were scarce signs of life. Quintus put Eleutherius down on his knees and bent his neck over a boulder. Now or never, Titus thought. He had to stop this. But how could he? The penalties for killing a fellow soldier were worse than setting prisoners free. Could he do this? He took his sword from its sheath and turned to Quintus, who was 15 feet away. He walked toward him, tentatively, slowly, working himself up to do what he had to do. Quintus raised his sword up, ready to bring it down on Eleutherius's neck to lop off his head. Maybe Titus could tell him the truth. He and Quintus were friends. Maybe if he just came clean, told him the truth about his faith that bound him to the three men in shackles, maybe Quintus would understand. Maybe he would respect him as a friend and let them go. He could make up a story about their escape. "Stop," Titus said, approaching. Quintus looked back, with his sword still raised.
"What?"
he said. Titus didn't know what to say. He kept walking toward Quintus, but didn't know what would happen when he got there. He had to keep Quintus talking and distracted. He supposed he meant to kill Quintus, didn't he? He was about to kill his friend, only because that friend had been in the wrong place at the wrong time. Quintus had been unfortunate enough to witness Titus in the midst of a major crime.
"What?"
Quintus said, watching as Titus advanced. Titus had nothing to say. Well, nothing he could say out loud. There were many things he wished he could say, but he couldn't. He wished he could tell Quintus that he loved these three men, even though he didn't know them, that he was meant to rescue them and abandon his post and flee to another city to follow Christ. That would be such a ridiculous prospect to someone like Quintus. He would never understand. Titus was too afraid to tell him any of that.
"Well,"
Quintus said,
"whatever it is, it'll have to wait."
He brought the sword down on Eleutherius's neck. Titus recoiled, as if he felt the pain Eleutherius must have felt. He watched as the sword tore through the neck flesh as smoothly as an axe through firewood, and it almost made it straight through to the rock in one swing. Blood spurted from the wound and bathed the rock in a red veil of life's source. Titus shuddered again. He had been a coward. He'd been a coward, and now Eleutherius was dead. Quintus brought the sword down again and made the final separation of head and body. Both rolled off the rock in different directions. Quintus wiped his brow and said, "What was that about? What were you going to say?" Titus was near him now, near enough to strike, to guarantee Denis and Rusticus would escape unharmed. But as Quintus peered into his eyes, he lost his nerve. He couldn't do it.
"Here, let me help," Quintus said,
approaching, and in one quick motion of the sword, Rusticus was without a head too. What was left of Rusticus fell to his knees next to Denis's feet. Denis looked down at it, horrified, and started to pray.
"I don't know what you're waiting for," Quintus said.
He pointed his sword at Denis and said, "Get him on his knees." Titus looked at Denis with sorrow in his eyes. He didn't know what to do. He didn't want to kill either of them. Denis got down voluntarily. He looked at Titus with sympathy. He was on his knees, beneath Titus's sword, but he still looked at Titus with sympathy and grace. Titus drew the sword back, and when he swung it, it went straight through, red and fountainous. It happened so quickly, Denis couldn't have felt a thing. As Denis fell to the ground, a dark weight of homicidal mortality fell on Titus's spirit. It cast a shadow over his soul and made him feel as though the sun had set for the last time. Day was something he used to know. There was no turning back. He kept his composure, which he had been trained to do for years. He was used to doing things that regularly rearranged the moral components of his soul, but this time was different. Quintus had no idea the grave that Titus had dug within himself. Quintus dropped his sword and held both fists up in victory.
"Woo!" he cheered. "Like a melon from the basket. Nice work."
Titus remembered how this moment used to feel. A job well done, an enemy eliminated, cheer and commendation from peers. Not this time, though. This wasn't an execution. It was murder. His brother in Christ was dead, and he could never take it back. Denis's hand twitched a bit while the open neck wound gushed on the bumpy ground. Titus had seen it many times. The body could move long after it was dead. But this wasn't like those other times. The fingers reached out. The arm almost looked like it was trying to drag itself away from the body. It looked that way because it was. Denis's hand was pushing up from the ground right next to his own decapitated head.
"What the?"
Quintus said, no longer celebratory. The body stood up on its own. It tipped and pitched some as it first got to its feet and toddled as it stepped toward its own head. Titus dropped to his knees, too scared and full of awe to do anything else. Denis's body bent down and picked up the head. It held it in its hands, and then it spoke.
"If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved."
The mouth opened, and the sound came from it, despite the fact that his vocal cords were strewn and divided between his head and neck.
"With the heart, one believes and is justified, and with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame."
Titus looked up at the sky and prayed,
"Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me."
Denis turned his head downward in his hands and looked at Titus. Somehow that disembodied head had the same sympathy and grace in its eyes as it had before in life.
"I forgive you, brother. And he has already forgiven all of your sin. Fear God and not man."
Then he turned around and descended Montmartre. Down the hill and into town, reciting scripture and commanding people to repent and believe. A few minutes passed, as Titus and Quintus both stayed there, still and stunned. Titus stood up and went to Quintus. "I resign," he said, and dropped his bloody sword on the ground. "Repent and believe in Christ," he added. Then he left Quintus, dumbfounded, as another revelation walked away from him. Titus followed after Denis. Where else would he go? He had planned to lead Denis to safety and hide him from the Empire, but now it was clear that he wouldn't lead Denis anywhere. He would follow, in the full view of daylight, courageous in Christ. Up ahead, he heard Denis yelling, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to all who believe." When they got back to town, people everywhere marveled, both in horror and awe. Their grotesque heraldry seemed to drag onlookers with it and parade them through the town. After a while, there were dozens who followed, and more joined all the time. Denis in the lead, Titus beside him. Soldiers watched the scene from a distance. Word had gotten back to the barracks who it was who had walked with their head in their hands. Some soldiers had been dispatched to execute the abomination of nature where he stood, but when they saw the crowds around him, they stood down. They each saw Titus walking alongside Denis, and word of that traveled back to the barracks as well. Titus, and many others, followed for over 2 hours. People throughout the village watched as Denis marched and preached through the streets. Then Denis finally and forever fell, dropped his head, and stopped preaching. But before he died for good, many turned to the Lord. That day, Titus saw something he had never seen before and would never see again. A true torment, unimaginable by men. And he realized there was only one worth fearing. And that was God himself. God had the power to take life and give it, to heal and make sick, to raise the dead, and even give life to a head.
Sometimes I wish it hadn't taken such a thing to teach me. I wish I would have just believed. That's not how it works, though. I think of the Apostle Thomas, when he had to put his hands into the Savior's side to believe that he had truly risen from the dead. I bet Thomas sometimes wished he hadn't needed such ostentatious proof. Titus looked out over the sunset from his roof. He spent the evening having dinner with a disciple, and the question of faith had come up. He told them the story of the day he followed St. Denis' corpse through the streets, which was the story he always told. Lucius's small church had teemed with people for weeks after the horrid miracle. They had to break into 6 different churches throughout the city. Titus even led one, because he had never left Lutatia as he had planned to do. He no longer lived by fear. He realized that despite how brave he had been as a soldier, his life had been characterized by great terror, fear of the Empire, of his colleagues, of men. "How can you not be afraid?" Quintus asked. He looked out at the same blackening sky as Titus, but with a much different outlook. As they saw the same sky, they had seen the same saint rise from the dead. He had been slower to believe than Titus. He was still a soldier, but a secret member of Titus's church, just as Titus had been. He looked with doubt at that day, the one that changed Titus's life, and he looked at the darkening sky with fear instead of bravery. But he was still learning from Titus, and the Spirit was moving. Titus tried to have the same patience and grace with young believers as Lucius and Denis had had with him. All of Jesus' sheep hear his voice,
even if it takes them a long time to trust him. His word will not fail.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Think Forever podcast, and thank you to everyone who's gone on and left us a review. We've had some really kind and helpful comments on there. I'll be sharing another one of those next week. So if you'd like a chance for your review to be shared on one of our video episodes, go ahead and leave us a 5-star review. Let us know what you're enjoying about the show. Anyway, thank you again for listening, and I'll see you next week when I'm joined by Nick Stewart to talk about his story, Fear God, Not Man.